ஸ்ரீமத் பகவத்கீதா சாப்டர் 7 ஞான விஜயான யோகா ஸ்லோகா 13 த்ரிபிர் குணமயை பாவைஹி ஏபி சர்வமிதம் ஜகத் மோஹிதம் நாபி ஜானாதி மாமேபிய பரமவ்யயம். வித் த ப்ரீவியஸ் ஸ்லோகா தி ஈஸ்வர ஸ்வரூபம் டாபிக் வாஸ் கன்க்ளூடட் தட் வி சா இன் த லாஸ்ட் வெபினார் which started actually from the sloka 4 up to sloka 12, Ishvara Swarupam. And now in the next two slokas, sloka 13 and sloka 14, Krishna wants to show how the samsara comes to the human being. Samsara karanam kim? That is the discussion going to be from slokas 13 to 14. Because from the previous description, when we look at it, there should not be any problem at all, because Lord alone was, Lord alone is, and Lord alone will be. And Lord plays his games in the form of creation, sustenance and resolution. So the whole creation is just a leela, it's a play of the Lord only. And there is no question of individual other than the total, namely the Lord. No jiva at all. Because God alone was, God alone is, and God alone will be. This being so, there does not seem to be any scope for samsara at all. How is it there seems to be a big samsara? That lot of people, you know, they are talking about, what is the samsara about? And lot of problems created by human interactions, interrelationships between people, and various complexes. All the psychiatrists coming and all those problems. What is the reason for all these? If God alone was, is and is will be, why there are so many of these problems? The reason is, Krishna says, nothing but our delusion. There is no problem as it were, but it is nothing but our own delusion. Thinking that there is a jiva separate from the Lord alone is the problem. We think that the jiva is separate from the Lord. The basic mohaha, the sense of isolation, different from the Lord, the sense of individuality, the akankara, which is known as here as mohaha or delusion. And that is why everybody says, I and the Lord. Nobody says, I am the Lord. They say, I and the Lord. That means what? I am not included in the Lord. I and the Lord means I stand separate from the Lord. And the Lord, they include all other things. Everybody includes all other things into the Lord. Similarly, the other person also says, I am the Lord. That everybody places the Lord as someone different and make him an individual. That's what everybody does. The moment Vyashti gets away from Samashti, Vyashti, the individual, gets away from the Samashti, then only all the tragedy begins. Getting away from totality is all our problem. The problem of samsara is getting away from totality. Even the scientists say the same thing. Without using the words Ishvara, what the scientist says, the more we get away from nature, the more we fight with nature, stand separate from nature, exploit nature, we will all suffer. That's what even scientists are telling. And they suggest that we all should live along with nature, in harmony with nature, one with nature. What does it mean? Don't get away from the total. Do not conceive yourself as an entity separate from the total. Therefore, this individuality, this ahankara and mamakara, they are the problems. Okay, why does this come about? And why does this sense of separation, this mohaha, come to all beings? If we ask this question, Krishna is answering it here. It is because of the Trigunatmika Maya. Trigunatmika Prakriti is responsible for that. Okay, how does Maya cause this? The Maya alone creates differences in all beings in the form of Sattvic creation, Rajasic creation, and Tamasic creation. And so the creation consists of three types of things born out of three types of gunas. So tribihi gunamayehi bhavaihi. Tribihi, three gunamayehi, consisting of these gunas, bhavaihi, these states of beings. So the whole creation consists of the sattvic variety, the rajasic variety, and tamasic variety. And when the properties are different, even though really speaking the substance is only one, namely Ishvara, that is the Adhishtanam, but when the properties are different, we create differentiation in the world, the plurality in the world. Is that not true? When gold is one form, we call it gold. But when the gold assumes different Namarupa, different forms, even though the differences are only in the Namarupa, we begin to count them as separately. This is chain, this is bangle, this is ring. And we have separated them and even grouped them. Bangle group, ring group, chain group, all those things we do based on Namarupas. And after some time, we develop some Ragadvesha also. I like this chain more than that chain. This is a superior bangle than that bangle. And thereafter, a time comes when we are all so much absorbed in the Namarupa part, we lose sight of the gold underneath all of them. Thus, we are so much absorbed in Apara Prakriti. If you remember the word Apara Prakriti and Para Prakriti, which we discussed in the previous webinars, we lose sight of the Para Prakriti all the time. And this is the essence. The three gunas belong to what Prakriti? They belong to the Apara Prakriti. And so the differences are also at Apara Prakriti level only. The Para Prakriti, which is Nirgunam, which is Nirvikaram, which is changeless, is lost sight of by us, by sheer moha or delusion. And unfortunately, when I lose sight of Para Prakriti, the Adhishtanam, the very support, the Apara Prakriti becomes the cause of bondage. The bondage, cause of bondage, samsara is what? Apara Prakriti only. But this very same Apara Prakriti becomes the glory of the Lord when I remember the Adhishtanam Para Prakriti. So when I think along with Para Prakriti, this Apara Prakriti itself becomes the glory of Para Prakriti. But when it stands separate from Para Prakriti, it becomes a problem. It becomes the vibhuti of the Lord when I remember Para Prakriti. Thus Maya or Apara Prakriti is a problem or a glory. It depends on whether you know Brahman, Para Prakriti or not. If you know Brahman, Para Prakriti, then the same Apara Prakriti will be a glory for the Lord. If you don't know, the Maya becomes a problem. If you know, the very same Maya becomes the glory of the Lord. This is why we find that when there is ajnana, when there is ignorance, the world is condemned as samsara karanam, dukkha hetuhu. We condemn the world as samsara karanam when there is ajnana. This condemned as maya, mithya, then it all creates all kinds of problems. So it is janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, all those things we condemn. But once the Brahman, the Adhishtanam is known, the very same world is glorified as the vibhuti of the Lord, as the glory of the Lord. Therefore, Apara Prakriti by itself is neither cause of bondage nor liberation. Apara Prakriti by itself is neither the cause for bondage or liberation. Once the Para Prakriti is known, Apara Prakriti is glorious. If not known, the very same Apara Prakriti is terrible. So Para Prakriti, for example, so Para Prakriti hi jnanam asti chete, Apara Prakriti hi Bhagavan Mahima Syat. It becomes the Bhagavan Mahima. Yadi Para Prakriti jnanam nasti, when it is not there, Apara Prakriti becomes a terrible thing. And this is the problem Krishna says here. Tribihi gunamayehi bhavaihi. Bhavaihi means what? Padartha. So the mental state of people, the objects consisting of the three gunas, they delude the people. And mohitam, deluded by them, mam na abhijanati. People do not recognize me. Abhijanati, recognize. Na abhijanati, do not recognize mam, me. Because they are absorbed in Apara Prakriti, in the Triguna Prapancha. This entire universe comprising of the three gunas. They are absorbed in the world of divisions because of their preoccupation, they do not know me, the Paraprakriti, the Chaitanyam Brahma. And remember, when a person is interested in Artha or Kama or Dharma even, there also he is absorbed only in Aparaprakriti. Remember, Dharma, Artha, Kamas also belong to Aparaprakriti only. Thus, whenever a person seeks money, sense pleasures, or even religious name or whatever it is, they are all lost in Aparaprakriti only. And they are lost and they are deluded by them. And we have to actually remember here the second chapter where Krishna said, Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Prabhadanti Apipaschitaha. They come to Veda, all right. All these people, they come to Veda, no problem. But even in Veda, what they want to do? They want to do only the rituals for prosperity, for good health, for all other material things only they want to even go to Veda, the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas. So even Vedas become a bondage for them. Because through Vedas, they seek Swarga, Swargadi Lokas, which also come under Aparaprakriti only. Even if somebody wants to get all the Swargadi Lokas, even that comes under Aparaprakriti only. So deluded by the Aparaprakriti in various forms, they do not know me. The Paraprakriti, the Brahma. Me means what type of me here? Ebhyaha Param. The one who is beyond the three gunas. Ebhyaha, Gunebhyaha, Param. And who is that? He is Nirguna. The one who is beyond the three gunas is Nirguna, which means Paraprakriti. They don't know me. So they do not know me. Who is beyond the three gunas? Who is the Paraprakriti? They do not understand. They do not know. And what is the nature of this Paraprakriti? Avyayam. Krishna says it's Avyayam. Free from all modifications. Abhikara. Whereas the Aparaprakriti form of the Lord is subject to all vikaras, all modifications. So Aparaprakriti also is Lord's aspect only, no doubt. But when the Lord is worshipped in his Aparaprakriti form, we have to lose the Lord. If the Lord is worshipped as Rama, the Lord can never remain permanent at all. There will have to be again asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. All those sixfold vikaras is there in potent form. Jayate is born, vardate grows, viparinamate changes, apakshiyate decays, and vinashyati finally goes away. Lord Rama enters the Sarayu river and he disappears. Lord Krishna is hit by the hunter and he disappears also. So Lord in his Aparaprakriti form is subject to all forms of modifications like any other object. Even though it is Lord, it's also same problem. Whereas the Paraprakriti is Avyayam, is Nityam, is Sarvagatam. But these people, they miss the Paraprakriti. And therefore what happens? They are in samsara. They are in samsara all the time. The moment you are caught up in Aparaprakriti, samsara becomes a problem. Thus, what is samsara karanam now? Delusion caused by the three gunas is the cause of samsara. That is the essence of this shloka. Now, let us go to shloka 14. Daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Now the solution is given here. Samsara karanam and also samsara tarana upayaha. Method to cross. Tarana upayaha means the method to cross samsara. And what is the method going to be here? It is surrender to the Lord. Sharanagati alone is the method. So Ishvara Sharanagati or seeking the grace of the Lord. That is going to be the solution. So this is what is said, actually we said earlier also, in the Madhyama Shatka, the emphasis will be on the grace of the Lord. That's what we said in the introduction. Unlike the Prathama Shatka, the first six chapters, what was said there? Uddharete Atman Atmanam Natmanam Avasadaye. Don't say Lord and Lord alone for everything. You have to work for it. Your work is important. And here Krishna says, you have to surrender to the Lord. Earlier he said, you have to work. Here he says, no, surrender to the Lord. So what we should remember is, when we talk about the first, we should not forget the second and vice versa. When we talk about work, you should lift yourself and all that, we should not lose track of the Lord. And when we talk about the Lord also, the Lord is the all-knower, Lord is everything. At that time also we should remember that still you have to work your duty through. So here Ishvara's grace is emphasized here, but that does not mean that Purusharatham is not there. The prayatnam, the work, the desire to move up is still there. So Purusharatham also must be equally emphasized along with Ishvara's grace, the Daivam factor. As I always say, you should do your prayatnam all the time, your effort, sincerely, loyally. And the next rest is Daivam factor. So that is where the Daivam factor will come and help us. So when we read this shloka earlier, we should read the other shloka also. Uddaretim Atman Atmanam Natmanam Avasadayet. Otherwise we will get into a very wrong conclusion. It is all Bhagavan's will. Everything is lalata likitam. Everything is written in my forehead. We have nothing to do. That attitude is not at all correct, because Krishna himself does not approve of that attitude. So here he is emphasizing the grace of the Lord. For that he gives the introduction that Maya is very, very difficult to be crossed. So that is what Krishna is telling here. Maya is very difficult to cross. He says, Mama Maya Duratyaya. Mama Maya, my Maya is very difficult to cross over. Duratyaya. Maya here refers to Aparaprakriti. And if Krishna says, Mama Maya, he means my Aparaprakriti. If people think of my Aparaprakriti form, that is very difficult to cross. And what is the meaning of my here? It is very interesting. When Krishna says, my Aparaprakriti, my refers to the Sagunam Brahman. Or Sagunam Brahman? Here we should understand, is it Sagunam Brahman or Nirguna Brahman? That's the question. When I say my book or my life, whatever it is, the my does not include the book. When I say my book, the my does not include the book. Because when I say my book, I am standing separate from the book. And I am claiming it as belonging to me. That's what I do. Similarly, if the Lord has to say my Maya, that means he stands separate from Maya as Nirgunam Brahman, Paraprakriti. So Mama here refers to the Lord as Paraprakriti. Then alone he can say it is my Maya. So the Maya which belongs to me, the Nirgunam Brahman, because now Brahmashriyate Sattva Rajas Tamo Gunatmika Maya Asti. We already saw that in Tattva Bodha. When we went through the section dealing with Maya, Brahmashrayate, depending on Brahman, Sattva Rajas Tamo Gunatmika Maya Asti. That is this Maya which is comprised of the three gunas, Sattva Guna, Rajo Guna and Tapo Guna, Tamo Guna. This Maya is Duratyaya. Duratyaya means very difficult to cross over. There is only one consolation. Krishna does not say that it cannot be crossed over. He only says it is difficult to cross over. He did not say it cannot be crossed over. So all our sadhanas, whatever we can do, that might help us. It may be difficult, but it will help us to cross over. So it is only Duratyaya and not Anatyaya. So, okay. So what type of Maya it is? Krishna gives here two adjectives to that. He says Gunamayi. Gunamayi means which consists of the three gunas. Each guna is powerful and each of them can bind a person in different forms. Sattva guna binds in some way, Rajo guna binds in some other way and so on. So which will be elaborately actually discussed in the 14th chapter. How Tamo guna binds, how Rajo guna binds, even Sattva guna is a bondage, he will show at that time. And the other adjective he uses here is Daivi, which belongs to the Ishvara. So, and this word is used to indicate here that Maya does not have independent existence. Daivi, Deva Ashrita Natu Swatantra. It is not independently existing, it is dependently existing on the Daivam factor Ishwara. And why this is put this way? Once we know that Maya is under the control of Lord and is creating so much a problem, then what we can do? We can go to the Master. Because Maya is under the control of Lord, and if Maya is creating problems to me, I can always go to the Lord. For example, if the clerk is not passing some bill in the office, then we can always approach the superior. And people may even bribe, and they adopt so many techniques perhaps. So that is our method. So we approach the Mayadhipati, the Ishwara. If Maya is a problem, we approach the Mayadhipati, the Ishwara. So Krishna gives the indication, approach the Lord. Go to the Lord. That is said here in the second line. Mam yeva ye prapadyante. Only those people who surrender to me, prapadyante. Those people, mam yeva, who surrender unto me. Ye tam mayam taranti. They cross over this maya. Mayam taranti. They cross over this maya. And here also, what is the meaning of mam? Mam yeva ye prapadyante. That mam. Those who surrender unto me, what is that me? Here Krishna is talking about again as the Lord of Maya. Here the me, the mam, refers to the Lord of Maya, and the Lord of Maya, as we said earlier, is Nirgunam Brahma alone, Paraprakriti. Because when we say Lord of Maya, we have separated the Lord from Maya. The same example, my book example. And the Lord separated from Maya has to be Nirgunam alone, Nirgunam Brahman alone. And so those who surrender to me means those who surrender to Nirgunam Brahma. Because when one surrenders to Sagunam Brahma, again one is within the three gunas. Sagunam Brahma is also within the three gunas. That is one. So even Trimurtis, all the Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva are along with one guna or the other. Vishnu is essentially Sattva Pradhana, Sattvic Vishnu. And Brahma is Raja Pradhana. And Shiva is Tama Pradhana. So all Saguna Ishwaras are within these three gunas only, within Apara Prakriti alone. So all even the Trinities are within Apara Prakriti only. And so they also cannot take anyone out of samsara. So when they themselves are within Apara Prakriti, how they can take anyone out of samsara? They cannot. So only those who surrender to Gunatitaha Ishwara, the Ishwara who is Gunatita, who is Nirgunam Brahman, they only will go beyond Maya. And the question will be, how do you surrender to Nirgunam Brahma? Because you cannot do Namaskaram to Nirgunam Brahma and all that. For a Sagunam Brahma, you can. Saguna Ishwara, we can do Namaskaram. But to Nirguna Ishwara, what will you do? You cannot do Namaskaram to him, because Nirguna Brahma surrender is only in the form of Jnana. We cannot surrender to him by doing Namaskaram, but we can surrender to him only through Jnanam. So Vedanta Vicharaha, Shravana, Manana, Vididhyasana, all those things. So they all will come. So by Vedanta Vichara alone, I surrender to the Nirgunam Brahma, the Paraprakriti, which means I become one with Brahman. Aham Brahma Asmi. And as Brahman, I am no more under the control of Maya or Samsara. I am free from the grips of Maya. I am free from the grips of Samsara. So Jiva also is under the grip of Maya. The Jagat also is under the grip of Maya. So Saguna Ishwara is associated with Maya. Brahman alone is beyond Maya. So the Jiva, the Jagat, and the Saguna Ishwara, all of them are under the grip of Maya, whereas the Nirguna Ishwara alone is beyond Maya. So surrendering to Brahman, becoming one with Brahman alone, is the only solution. For a person to cross the samsara, the only solution is to surrender to the Brahman. Surrender to me, through what? Through Jnanam. Through self-knowledge. But one thing here, surrender to Nirgunam Brahma requires lot of initial preparation. It is not that simple, requires lot of initial preparation. And during those initial stages, we can surrender to Saguna deities as a method of preparation. Ishta Devatas as a beginning step. We can always have bhakti. We can worship the Ishta Devata as a beginning step. So initially surrender to any Saguna Ishvara, which will give us what? Sadhana, Chatushtaya Sampatti, Architta Shuddhi, Architta Naishchalyam it can give. But that does not take us away from Maya. We will be still going within the Maya zone only. Because Saguna Ishvara and Jiva are within the Maya only. Then comes the higher stage of surrender, where I surrender to Nirgunam Brahma, which is in the form of Jnana, which is in the form of self-knowledge. This is pointed out here. Mameva ye prapadyante. Those who surrender to me, the Sagunami in the initial stage and the Nirgunami in the final stage, they alone cross over Maya. That is the essence of this shloka. Shloka 15. Namam duskriti no mudaha prapadyante na radhamaha mayaya apakrita jnana asuram bhava mashritaha. Here Krishna deals with the various types of people who follow this path of surrender and who do not follow this path. The atheists and the theists, the bhaktas and the abhaktas, the sharanagatas and asharanagatas. Krishna says, if people have got the tendency to surrender to the Lord, that itself is because of purva janma punyam only. If somebody wants to surrender to the Lord, that itself is because of purva janma punyam only. That is why Acharya, Shankaracharya in the Samudra Lahari, he writes in the very first sloka, pranantumva stotumva katam akrita punyaha prabhavati. How a person who has not done punya can either do namaskaram to me or even sing of my glory if he has not punya. So even the very thought to surrender to the Lord, that itself should be an outcome of punya karma only. Whereas many others, because of their papa, don't even have the tendency to surrender to the Lord. They think that God, religion, morality, etc. are all not necessary. With money and power, we can lead a very, very happy life. That's what they all seem to think and conclude. Not only they have this delusion, they have the arrogance also accompanying that delusion. How can we bow our head in front of someone else? They have all these kinds of tendencies. All because of what? Because of papa. Because of their own sins, they get caught up in samsara. So Krishna talks about those unfortunate people, those atheistic people in this shloka. Mudaha maam na prapadyante. The deluded people do not surrender to me. That's what he says. The deluded people do not surrender to me because they do not accept me. They are all atheists. When they don't respect the Lord, what they don't do also? They do not respect the scriptures also, because they are all interconnected. The Lord and the scriptures are not separate. They are all one and the same. So they don't respect the gurus also. So they don't respect the Lord. They don't respect the scriptures. They don't respect the gurus also. As it was actually said in the Kathopanishad and Mundakopanishad. Avidyayam antare vartamanaha swayam dhiraha panditam manyamanaha. Dandram yamanaha parijanti mudaha andenaiva niyamana yatandaha. That is what Kathopanishad says. They think that they are dhiraha, they are panditaha. They know what is life, what is destination, how to conduct themselves in life. They think they all know all that. Thus thinking they are all mudas, deluded people with respect to the goal of life and the path to that life. The goal of life is moksha. So they never think of that at all. And why are they like that? Krishna says they are duskritinaha, because they have done duskriti, papam. And that is why they have such an attitude. Duskritam means papam and dushtam kritam. Dushtam kritam, ill done. Whatever is done bad, anything what is evil, that's what they have done. And punya means sukritam. Sukritam means well done. So duskritam and sukritam. So duskriti means papi. those who have done papa. And therefore what? Naradamaha. They are the lowest among human beings. Naradamaha. Why are they the lowest? Once they do not accept Lord and scriptures, they do not have value for moksha and dharma. The moment they don't have this respect for Lord and the scriptures, because scriptures alone, they talk about dharma and moksha. Both are invisible things, adrishtam. They cannot be seen. Punyam, papam, we cannot scientifically prove. And so is Brahman. Brahman also you cannot scientifically prove, do an experiment. And since these are all revealed through only scriptures, the atheists do not accept dharma purusharta and moksha purusharta. They don't accept them. Which means they will accept only the other two, the artha and kama. Among the four purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama and moksha, dharma and moksha they do not accept. They accept only artha and kama alone, because they are the primary things in their lives. I should have the maximum wealth and sense pleasures. Only two destinations they have, wealth and sense pleasures. And once these two destinations are there, and when there is no dharma at all, these people won't mind going through any marga, any way to reach that destination of artha and kama. If it is by cheating, I can make money. Even the end justifying the means in most of the cases. Whatever means I take to, it does not matter. They want to pursue artha and kama only. Actually, Krishna will talk more about these people in the 16th chapter. We will see in detail at that time, calling them as asuraha, rakshasas or demons. So if there is any competitor on the way, what will they do? They won't mind even finishing them off. They are such people, because artha and kama alone is their end. And dharmika marga is prescribed by the scriptures, which they do not believe. So they become naradamaha, the lowest, the meanest, cutthroats they become. Such people. And so Krishna calls them asuram bhavam ashritaha. Asuram, asuric tendencies, demonic tendencies. They are humans anatomically, that's true. But they have all assumed asuric nature, like the Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, all those people. And all because of what? Mayaya apahrita jnanaha. With that discrimination completely taken away by deluding power of Maya. Jnanam here means Viveka, the ability to discriminate, the discriminative ability. Viveka Shakti, apakrita Vivekaha. The one, apakrita means stolen, the one that is taken away. That discriminative power is stolen because of Maya, apara prakriti. And therefore, they do evil things. They always are engaged in evil actions. As a result of that, they suffer, and again they do more evils and keep on doing that, going through samsara again and again in each of the janmas. This janma to next janma to next janma, every time they become more and more puppies. Then it goes on and on. This is one type of people. They are atheists and they are abhaktas. They call themselves to be even rationalists sometimes, but the most irrational ones they are. That's what Krishna says. Now Krishna comes to the other type of people who are bhaktas, who are thieves, who are ready to surrender to the Lord. In the next shloka, he is going to describe those people. Shloka number 16. Chaturvidha bhajante maam jana sukriti norjuna artho jignasur arthati jnani cha bharatarshabham. This is one very important shloka in Bhagavad Gita. We should remember this. Here comes the other type of people. Janaha mam bhajante. Some other people, janaha mam bhajante, surrender to me. They worship me, they surrender to me. They are humble enough to accept these scriptures. Whatever they start in the scriptures, they are willing to accept. They are like the saints, the sages. Because they accept the innate human limitation. They understand the limitation of an individual. So they go to the Lord for solutions. When the life as a whole comes, I can never depend on my intellect. They understand that, because it's such a vast and complicated creation. When one attempts to study the creation, one can see how complex and vast it is. and I cannot comprehend the entire creation through my limited intellect, they understand. I can never know what is the purpose of this life, what is the goal of life, means to achieve the God. All those things I do not know by myself. I have to only depend on the scriptures. This they accept. These people are believers, they accept. Okay, why are they able to do that? Why are they able to accept it? Krishna says, Sukritinaha, because they are Punyavantaha. Because of some Punyam, they are able to do that. They have done Punya in the Sukritam, in the previous Janmas. So, the previous variety is Dushkritinaha, in the previous Loka. They have done Dushtakarma, but these people are Sukritinaha because they have done Shobanam Karma or auspicious Karma. They have done good deeds. That is why their very birth is in a family of believers, religious people, pious people. They are born in such families. Father and mother have got faith in the Lord. They get up in the morning, do puja, etc., do prayers, go to temple, do japa, engage in dharmic activities, in satsang. The parents do that. Their association, friends, etc., are all again such people only, spiritual people, religious people. The child will be then molded also in this line alone generally. When the parents are like that, the child also is exposed to only such kind of behavior, such kind of actions. And so the credit must go to the upbringing. How a child is brought up. What is the environment in which a child is brought up? And that is because of such families. And why such a person is born in such a family? He might have been born in some other non-believing family also, right? And why this child should be born in such a family? It is only because of Purva Janma Punyam. Purva Janma Sukritam. This is the second type of people. They are the thieves. So a broad classification, atheists and thieves, non-believers and believers. Now Krishna wants to make a subdivision among the bhaktas themselves. Krishna first broadly classified them into believers and non-believers. And among the believers also, Krishna wants to make some subdivisions. He says the bhaktas themselves can be divided into four categories. Chaturvidha bhajantema. Previously, it is the division of the whole people into two categories, bhaktas and abhaktas, believers and non-believers. Now the bhaktas themselves are divided into four. And so Krishna says, Chaturvidaha janaha bhajante. There are four types of people, bhaktas, who worship me, bhajante. They worship. Mam bhajante. Who are they? Second line. Artaha, jignyasuhu, artharthi, jnanicha. These are the four people. We can actually rearrange this slightly. Artaha, artharthi, jignyasuhu, and jnanicha. These are the four types. And what are Artaha, Jignyasuhu, Artharthi and Jnanicha. Artaha means one who is in danger, a person who is in some adversity, has some problem in life. He has a health problem or a wealth problem, legal issues, family issues, or obvious issue, whatever it is. When the problem is there, he will remember all gods. So he is a person in Dukkham. He is Artaha. He is in Dukkham. He is in some problem or some suffering, he then remembers the Lord. Till then he doesn't think of the Lord. He thinks, oh, look at that. I am the person who has done all this. I am the achiever. All that he thinks. But only when he comes to some dukkham, he thinks of the Lord. And then he comes to the Lord. He is certainly better than an atheist because he worships the Lord. He believes in the Lord. And he thinks the Lord will protect me. He has that faith, protect me out of this danger. So he makes even some contract with the Lord. If you do that, then I will give you this and that. You know, on the 1st of January, Tirupati Hundi is all full. People all have made contracts with the Lord. If you give me this much profit, half is yours. They make all these contracts with the Lord. These are called Artha Bhaktas, people who are in some dukkha. In our Purana also, we have so many of this kind. Prahladascha, Vibhishanascha, Kariratil, Panchali, Ahalya, Dhruvaha. Kariratil means Gajendra. Prahlada, Vibhishna, Karirat means this Gajendra, Panchali, Ahalya, Dhruva, they all belong to this kind of categories. So there is a course shloka called Artha Trana Parayana Narayana Ashtakam. There is one shloka like that. Artha Trana Parayana Narayana Ashtakam. 8 shlokas, Ashtakam. And Narayana, who protects people from so many different types of dangers. These shlokas talk about 6 people. And who are those people? Prahlada, Vibhishana, Karirat, Gajendra, Panchali, Ahalya, and Dhruva. Each shloka talks about the episode of each of these people. When Panchali was distressed, disarmed, and was in trouble, her own husbands could not save her. Neither people like Bhishma and Drona could save her. When she shouted, "Oh Krishna, help me," such a Draupadi, the Lord protected. And that Artha Trana Parayana, let him protect me also. That is what this shloka says. The Lord who protected such a Draupadi, let him protect me also. Similarly, there are 8 shlokas on Shiva also. Artha Trana Parayana Gangadharashtakam. That is Narayanashtakam. This is Gangadharashtakam. When the Halahala poison that came out, when the whole world was threatened by that poison, the Lord came and protected the world. Trana means protection. Artha means the people in suffering. Parayana means one who is committed to, one who is the above, one who can protect. So, and the person who surrenders in that condition is called an Artha Bhaktaha. He is called Artha Bhaktaha. He is the lowest in the category of Bhaktas, because only in danger he remembers the Lord. If he is not in danger, he will never remember the Lord. So next moment he will forget. He will remember only in the next danger then. That is why actually Kunti in Mahabharata, she prays to Krishna for danger only, dukkham only all the time, so that she can constantly remember the Lord. And then there is the next type of bhaktas. They are called Artharthi bhaktas. Artharthi means the one who seeks wealth. The one who seeks wealth. Artha means wealth. And Arthi means the seeker after wealth. So wealth stands for any type of gain, not just money alone. House, child, wife, husband, good job, all those things. So he worships for gaining wealth. It is certainly, he is an Artharthi Bhakti only. It is. We have got enough rituals actually and pujas in Karmakanda portion of the scriptures meant for this. Krishna is going to talk about them later. Whoever worships me with whatever goal they have in mind, I will certainly give them to him. That's what he will say at that time. That is why in the Palashruti of Vishnu Sahasranam also, what is said there? Dharmarthi prapniyat dharmam. Artharthi cha artham prapniyat. Then kaman avapniyat kami. Prajarthi chapniyat prajaha. So all those people, whatever they desire, the Lord will grant them. He will give them. So punyam, wealth, sense pleasures, children, whatever one seeks, the Lord will give. These people are a little superior type of bhaktas. They are Artharthi bhaktas. And then the third variety of bhaktas come, which is still more superior. He is called a Jignyasu bhakta. And he has gone through the first two stages, this Artha bhakta and Artharthi bhakta both. Actually, we should remember here, no one can directly go to the third stage. Everybody has to go through the first two stages. And then only they will come to the third stage. Parishya lokan karma chitan, brahmano nirvedamaya. So that is how it is. So initially he worships the Lord. Whenever danger comes, whenever he has problem, he always worships the Lord. Then he understands that danger keeps coming in life again and again. In spite of my worshipping the Lord, danger again comes. It still comes. So even the God solves the problem, more problems keep coming still. So as long as karma is there, we cannot avoid problem, he understands. So long as karma is there, karma param will always be there. It is only a palliative and not a curative. As Swamiji says, it is only a palliative and not a curative. Thus he understands, Artha Bhakti is not a permanent solution, but it will help for him to have some Shraddha in the Lord, some faith. So a lot of people spend their whole life in vows and fastings, so much of fastings, the whole life. I will offer this to the Lord, I will be fasting, I will leave eating this and that, I will walk through all this nirmala, all those things people do. But this is not the ultimate solution also. Similarly, artati bhakta, getting wealth also is not a permanent solution, he understands. Artam anartam bhavaya, bhavaya nityam, that's what Shankaracharya said. Wealth also has got its own attendant problems. Artham will go away also one day. All the wealth also is not permanent. It will also go away one day. He understands. So if there are so many other problems also, then he understands that the ultimate solution is getting the infinite only, reaching which the danger cannot come again to him at all. He understands it. That is the permanent solution. He understands that that solution is Brahmajnanam only. Self-knowledge alone is the only thing that is the ultimate thing to be gained. So again he turns to the Lord as he did before. But now when he goes to the Lord, he does not say, "Oh Lord, remove my back pain and any of those things." He understands they are all part of life. He does not say any of these things at all. He leaves them to what? Prarabdha. Prarabdha cannot be avoided. One has to go through prarabdha, one has to exhaust prarabdha. Nobody can short circuit that at all. I will do whatever is there in my capacity. I will not use my bhakti for these petty purposes at all, because they are things which you cannot challenge, which you cannot change. Prarabdha has to be gone through. I will use bhakti for a higher purpose. That he understands. So, jnana vairagya siddhyartham. Bhikshandehi cha Parvati, he understands. Jnana vairagya siddhyartham. Oh Lord, I am a jignyasu. I know jnanam alone permanently cures. All these other things, they are not permanent solutions. Only self-knowledge alone will give me permanent solution. He understands. I do not want any temporary cure of my worldly problems. So such a bhakta is called a jignyasu bhakta. No vows or contract for him at all. He doesn't worry about any of this Ekadashi Vrata and this and that. He knows much more deeper what is the actual problem and what is the solution that he needs. So even in deathbed, if the person is there, he will not say, "Oh Lord, save me from death." He will never say that. No. That is the superior bhakti. All very, very difficult to practice. They are all very easy to read, nice to hear, but very difficult to practice. So jignyasu is the higher type of bhakta. Then who is the fourth bhakta that Krishna talks about? The jnani bhakta. Artho jignyasu rattati jnani cha bharatashava. So jnani bhakta. Jnani is the highest type, which is the Lord himself is going to tell in the next shloka. So jnani bhakta is the highest type of bhakta. The Lord himself will say in the next shloka that the jnani is the greatest bhakta. Actually, that we will see in the next shloka. So here, jnani is one who is a bhakta without expecting anything else. Because all the other three, whether it is the artha bhakta, or arthaarthi bhakta, or jignyasu bhakta, they ask for something or other of the Lord. The first one asked, "Please get me out of danger," the artha bhakta. The second one asked, "Give me wealth," arthaarthi bhakta. And the third one did not ask for the first two, that is either getting out of danger or wealth, but still he asked, "Oh Lord, give me knowledge, give me strength." He still thinks that he has to get it from that Lord. The fourth one does not even ask for jnanam because he is already a jnani. He is already a jnani. So these are the four types of bhaktas. But we have to understand one thing clearly. We accept all four types because everybody has to go through all these stages. One cannot just become a jnani sitting under a tree. Everybody has to go through all these four stages. And so we do not condemn any of them. That is the very uniqueness of our scriptures, of our tradition. We do not condemn any of them. We condemn only one when one remains in the first stage permanently. If somebody remains in the artha bhakta stage only permanently, then only we condemn. LKG is necessary, School final is necessary. And going further, although also they are also good things to have. Because there are people of different grades in life. Everyone has to go through these stages. If you have to cross school final, one should have definitely crossed LKG. But our problem is what? If we remain in LKG permanently, then it should be compliant. That should be condemned at that time. We all were Arthabhaktas at some stage. Every one of us were Arthabhaktas at some stage. Many of them perhaps continue to be also, but we should not be permanently Arthabhaktas. We can be Artharthi Bhaktas also for some time, but again, not permanently as an Artharthi Bhakta. Sooner or later, we should become a Jignyasu Bhakta. Then I should become a Jnani Bhakta. That should be the goal. Not only that, liberation is one for the fourth type of Bhakta only, for the Jnani Bhakta only. Other three are in samsara alone, including Jignyasu Bhakta. Even though they are all Bhaktas, they are still in samsara only. They will be out of samsara only when they reach the fourth stage of Bhakti, namely the Jnana Bhakti. Actually, so having enumerated all these four different types of Bhaktas, Krishna now will glorify the fourth type of Bhakta only, the Jnani Bhakta. Jnani Bhakta alone is superior. He will highlight that actually in the next sloka, which we will see next week in the next webinar. Yo veda dao swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti leenasya parasamajeshwaraha Sri Krishna arpanamastu.